If you have a Bible, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, as we begin reading with the 11th verse. Listen carefully to God's word. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Amen. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7:1, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Before a computer computes, it has to have what is called a system called DOS. That is a disk operating system. The DOS, disk operating system, is the system that determines how information is to be dealt with in a computer. Now, the Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians 6, in the passage we just read, basically tells us that there is a system for a Christian, a DOS, an operating system. And we want to consider what that system is today. If the Christian does not have this system operating within his life, then his computer won't compute. Then his Christianity will not function to the capacity that it is supposed to function to. We're going to consider the Christian's DOS, his distinctiveness, his openness, and his separateness or holiness. We want to consider firstly O, because that's what Paul mentions in the first part of this passage. Openness. Learn to be open to others by loving them. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you, Paul says. Our heart is wide open. You also be open. I like the way that the translator suggested we translate verse 12. When verse 12 says, you are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. I like the translation constricted. You are constricted by your own affections. That is the failure to be open to those around you in love will only constrict your own personal life. We all know how a boa constrictor operates, how he takes his slimy, scaly body and he wraps it around its victim and he squeezes the life of that person out of him. In the same way, a person who fails to be open to those around him in love is but constricting his own life. In the biblical perspective, we are to be open to love, but listen to this. In the biblical perspective, the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is fear. Do you know why? Because love always directs itself outside of oneself. Fear, on the other hand, is always directed inwardly. When I am afraid, I am thinking about me. But when I love, I am thinking about you. So that the opposite of love is fear. What did John tell us in 1 John 4? He said, there is no fear in love, for perfect love cast out fear. Fear's motivation is, how can I protect myself? How can I preserve myself, whether it's my image or what you think of me or what I think of me? That is the motivation of fear. But love will liberate anybody from fear, because perfect love casts out fear. Because when you love somebody, your life has an outward direction. But when you are afraid, your life has an inward direction, and it will affect, fear will affect your mind and your body and how you relate to the people around you. I said the opposite of love is fear. If you don't love, what will happen? You will begin to constrict within yourself and begin to think, how can I protect me? How can I protect mine? How can I get others to provide for me? On the other hand, if you are open, then love will enlarge your heart. In verse 11, that's what the meaning of the word wide open says. It says, we have spoken openly to you, Paul says. Our heart is wide open. That is, our heart is enlarged. If you want to have a large heart, then you will have to be open to love. Children, perhaps, are a good illustration of love. I mean, the small children just seem to have an innocence and an openness of the possibility of loving the people who are around them. Now, grant you, not all the time. Generally, they are guileless, but sometimes they are not. But openness, as a little child, will give to you a new freedom and it will expand your heart rather than constrict your life. I think of the fact that when those during our World Missions Conference give by what we call the faith promise, I believe that that is a demonstration of love. I believe it is a demonstration of being liberated from the constriction of what you're afraid of, namely what will happen to my finances. You see, if we too carefully orchestrate how we love and how we give to God, what we will end up doing is not loving anybody and not giving very much. I like what one preacher said, that he was in the business of liberating his congregation from the, emancipating his congregation from the tyranny of their possessions. And that's what some have found when they give a faith promise to God, because a faith promise is, God, I'll give this to you, and I don't know where it's coming from. It's not coming out of the tithe, but I'll trust God for it. Do you know what it does? Why, I can see those people who believe in it and who make a faith promise. They are the ones who have a new liberality and a new freedom. They have a freedom to love India and Mexico and Africa and Japan and Malaysia and South America, all around the world, because they are gaining a new freedom. Their heart is enlarging and it's beginning to expand until it circumferences across the globe, because they are open to love. And their love is demonstrated by their giving. I said love will always direct itself outwardly. But the opposite emotion is to direct everything inwardly. That's not hate. That is called fear. Learn to be open to others by loving them, whether it's through a faith promise. That is only one illustration. Learn to be open to others for the possibility of having a spirit that will be charitable and to welcome them into your world. Are you open to others? That is the Christian's openness. But what about D in our DOS analogy? D is distinctiveness. Live a life that is distinctively Christian. Not only learn to love others by being open to them, but also live a life that is distinctively Christian. The principle is laid down in verse 14, where Paul says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." That is the principle. As he sat across his pastor's desk, he confessed that his marriage was gone and that there was no more love, nothing left in his marriage. And when his pastor asked him, "What exactly happened? What is the main problem?" he said with tremendous insight, "My wife is simply not a Christian." Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. One of the first questions, in fact, the first interview that I ever have with young couples or older couples coming to me and asking me to perform a wedding, is I try to establish the genuine Christian experience of both partners. And I have had the pleasure on more than one occasion of leading one person or both people to faith in Jesus Christ at that very sitting. Don't bind yourself, Christian, whether it is in a business contract or whether it is in a marital relationship, don't bind yourself to any intimate association that is a non-Christian association. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says that God is not mocked, that bad company corrupts good morals. You think maybe that if you hang around and you have an influence upon this person, it will only get better and he will change or she will change or she will become a Christian. It doesn't work that way. And if that is the basis for your intimate association with anybody, you're barking up the wrong tree and God will not honor. The basis of the principle of distinctiveness is in verse 16, where God says, I will be their God and they shall be my people. God is just trying to protect you. God is saying, I want to be your God first. I want to be your God and I want you to be my son. I want you to be my daughter. I want to be your God. That's what I want. Be distinctive. Be distinctive. Come out from among them, Paul says in verse 17, and be separate, says the Lord. And then in verse 14, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with the devil, or what part has an unbeliever with a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? There is a point at which you and I must be willing to let our lives count for this, and that is distinctiveness. Where you and I must say, no, I will not go. No, I will not do it. Yes, I will be there. I will be involved in God's work and with God's people. A distinctiveness that sets you apart and that gives a clear signal to the world, I am a Christian and some things are more important than any involvement in the world. One can't help but admire the young 10-year-old in our congregation several years ago. He was spending the night at a friend's house. The friend was not a member of our church. And he and some other boys were there. And the little 10-year-old boys were gathered in the den and they were watching a television program. And something came on that this little boy in our congregation knew that his parents had told him he should not watch. Without anybody rebuking him, reminding him, or anything else, this little boy got up and he innocently and without making much ado went off to play by himself until the program was over. Sometimes distinctiveness is what God calls us to. And without a willingness to be distinctive, Christian, your computer won't compute. You cannot function as a Christian unless you're willing to be different sometimes. Be distinctive and learn to be open to others by loving them. And then Paul says in verse 1 of chapter 7, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Holiness is another word for separation. That is the third distinctiveness in the Christian's DOS. He must be a person who is separate. Now, separation in the Christian context does not mean separation from the world as much as it means separation to God. It is not negative, but it is positive separation to God. We are to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. As Paul says, anything and everything that detracts and that contributes to the ungodliness of the Christian is counted filthy, whether it is of the spirit or whether it is of the flesh. We're to cleanse ourselves firstly in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. I wonder how many here this morning need for the first time to place themselves and to cleanse themselves under the blood of Jesus Christ. Cleanse yourself. You need to come to Him. You need to confess your sin to Him. You need to acknowledge that you need a Savior, and He is there to receive you, and He is there to wash away every sin and every spot tainted from the world. But notice what the text says. It says not only to cleanse, but to cleanse yourself. That is, that there comes a point in your life, if you are a Christian today, where you and I must take control of what is going on. That is the idea. Take control of what's happening in your life. Whether it is in the spiritual realm, whether it is in the physical realm, there is an old phrase that I used to hate many years ago. And it was the phrase, God helps those that help themselves. Some people even quoted that to me, saying, doesn't the Bible say God helps those that help themselves? I used to be so irritated, but all of us still grow and mature in the Christian life, and I hope that I'll continue to do that. But it is a phrase that I can really appreciate at this point in my life, because it is true, and it is true for you, that if you want to cleanse yourself, then take charge. Take charge of your life and cleanse yourself of that which is wrong and that which should separate you for God and for His purpose. To perfect holiness in this passage means to finally bring your Christian life to completion. The Christian life is like a race, and all of us are runners in that race. And we are striving mainly not to see who's first or who's last, but the only and the greatest accomplishment is simply to finish the race. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God means separate yourself to God in order to complete what He has started in you. What has He started in you? He has made you a believer. He has made you a Christian. And now, Christian, complete what God has started. We all know the story of Winston Churchill when he was introduced after World War II at a boys' academy in England, and how he stood up as the main baccalaureate speaker And he said to these young men, he said, young men, never give up. Never, never, never give up. Never give up. And then he sat down. What you may not know is that when Winston Churchill was on his deathbed, the last words that he ever spoke were these: there is no hope. There is no hope. And he died. God gives to you and to me the hope of His power, of His resurrection, and of eternal life, so that you don't have to give up. But you must be willing to separate yourself to God. You must be willing to live a distinctive Christian life. You must be willing to love others, openly loving them. What about you? How is your computer functioning this morning, Christian? Is your DOS operating? Distinction? Openness, separation. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You for this day and for the opportunity that we've had to hear these words of Paul. And we pray indeed that our operating systems would be fully engaged, that we may be a distinctive people, that we may be open in our love to those about us, and that we may be willing to be separate and live holy lives before God and to cleanse ourselves. Lord, help those who simply do not know You this morning, who simply have not cleansed themselves in the blood of Christ and who need to. I pray for them. I pray that they, by simple faith, would put their trust in You and receive You as their Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you all that love our Lord Jesus with sincerity. Amen.